like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living without any fuss.
Us.
Water, sun, and air
and
are all they need to grow. Do I have to get specific? I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
Ooh.
They feed all the air.
In the KSRO Greenhouse, I'm Steve Garner. Good morning, everybody, and good morning, Dave Fazio.
Good morning.
How's everything in the eastern portion of our county?
The eastern portion. It was foggy out there this morning.
Foggy coming in from Sonoma?
No, from the
river. From Kernville, from the west part of the county.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the end of the spectrum, but... I don't know how Sonoma is. It's probably sunny.
But kind of foggy along River Road, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so bear that in mind if you're coming in to Santa Rosa from the Monterio area in Kernville. It is Garden Talk Live, and part of the charm of Garden Talk Live is we don't just jump right in and start talking about plant problems, which is pretty much the focus of the 2 hours, good things to plant, ways to remediate issues. We start off at the original certified farmers market, and we've done this for many, many years, and I can't tell you how many listeners have told us how much they enjoy it. As a matter of fact, I was standing in Costco this week, going to return something, just minding my own business, and a woman, as she was leaving the store, pushing a shopping cart, stopped and said, "Excuse me, are you Steve Garner?" And I said, "Oh God, who do I owe money to?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I recognize you from your photo on the KSRO website, Garden Talk. I always listen to Garden Talk." I said, "Thank you so much. And I love that Dennis Dunn call-in that you do in the morning." And I said, "Thank you. That is really makes my day, standing with 20 people in front of me at Costco. I feel great. You really made my day." So I wanted to share that with you, Dave, and I wanted to share that with you, Dennis Dunn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're a star. People love you.
Oh, well, yeah, sure. I'll believe it. My pictures are still up in the post office. Once they get that down, I'll be okay.
It's Dennis Dunn, live and direct from the original Certified Farmers Market this morning at the Luther Burbank Center. What looks fresh and delicious, Dennis?
Well, we got a bunch of good things going on here today, but we'll get to them on the way. But let's start with starts.
Okay.
I'm standing in La Vida Buena, and I'm just going to pick out a few because I like the names. Purple bumblebee tomatoes. Chocolate stripes.
Chocolate stripes, we know.
Yeah.
Striped German.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Berkeley tie-dye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a famous one.
And Lemon Boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's got a bunch of others. He's got Better Boys and Big Beef and San Marzano's and Sun Gold. So stop by and say hi to Zeke. He's also got arugula and Rocky Top Salad, Little Jim. So grab some starts, get them in the ground, and get ready for the summer.
Is it time to be planting tomatoes, Dave? I noticed that Sonoma Mission Gardens had a big blast, like, start to think about planting them. Even though frost date, Rachel was made sure to mention, you know, frost date is really technically May 15th, frost date.
And this is Sonoma County, so sometimes you can even get it later than that.
Yeah.
You just have to listen to the weather or whatever and go out and put a box or a frost cap or you know, taking a 5-gallon can and put it over the top of it at night when it gets when they're talking about a possibility of frost.
Okay.
So it doesn't get damaged. But it is, you're right there on the cusp.
Okay, Dennis, what else looks good?
Of course, Duncan's mushroom is here, Cremini's, white portobello's, clamshell, maitake, trumpet, shiitake, oyster. You can get a mix of them if you'd like, so stop by and grab some mushrooms from Barb. And trumpets, please. Da-da-da-da! Asparagus is here!
Mm.
Yes! Alexander Valley Farm, great price, $5 a bunch. Great price for local asparagus. And it's going to go fast, folks. It will go quickly, so if you want some, you better get here soon. Alexander Valley's also got a great-looking lettuce mix. They've got some cabbage and some onions, big white onions as well. Great farm, good people. Ortiz Farm is here, and they've got, some rainbow chard. They've got some regular chard and some broccoli. I was looking at, these are gorgeous. I think she called them overwintered cabbage, not cabbage, cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely beautiful. Oh, they've also got asparagus. Ooh, good day. Asparagus all over this place. They've got some potatoes. They've got rutabaga, chicory mix, and the like. And, of course, there's always Singing Frog Farms. It's got, you know, pretty much one of everything that you'd possibly need. I know they've got bok choy and tatsoi and the like. So come on down and get some great veggies. We're starting to harvest.
And what about fruit?
Ponce is back with, let's see, they do have some apples, and then there's citrus, and citrus. Williamson is here, Shoot Farms. They've got avocados and strawberries, and I think that is about it for fruit today.
Then scurry on over to Carnivorous Corner.
Carnivorous Corner. Let's see, Anna's Seafood. They have local black cod at $17 a pound, which is not a bad price. But they've also got pre-made lobster bisque at $8.95.
Oh, that's a great price.
Yeah, that's a great price. So stop by and say hi to those guys. Grab some lobster bisque. I got some ahi poke from them last week, and it was absolutely delicious. So go to Anna's. Let's see. Where am I? Hector's got his cuts of beef. Achadina is here with pork, beef, lamb, and, of course, their wonderful cheeses. Mount Etan is here with their great cheeses. Boy, that stuff is good. Steve, you hit the nail on the head with those guys. They are just great. Salmon Creek is here. She's got a stack of duck eggs, and she's still got the bone-in goat stew meat, and she has goat sausage as well. And Silver Sky Ranch beef, chicken, lamb, and eggs, and of course milk, yogurt, butter, sour cream, ice cream from Strauss Family Creamery.
That's me whistling.
Yeah, I heard.
Anything else in Carnivore's Corner?
That's pretty much. Oh, I forget. Of course, Woodland Charcuterie. He's got salamis and bacon, pastrami, smoked duck, rillettes. He's got copa today. He also has frozen ham and bean soup. So stop by and grab something from Woodland Charcuterie.
I want to tell you a good and a not-so-good story simultaneously. After you mentioned last Saturday that Anna had tuna poke on sale, okay, Rachel, at 11 o'clock after she got done with Garden Talk, said, hey, I'm going to go up to the market. I'm going to get some tuna poke. And I said, well, why don't you get some for me and John Ash? She said, great, I will come back and drop it off by noon. So I get a text at 11:30 from Rachel saying, guess what?
They sold out.
Since Dennis talked about it, she sold out within an hour.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I was thrilled that people really respond to your call in and know when something's great and you talk about it, they should get up and buy it.
That's okay. I've got a bone to pick with you, too. Last week, remember, I was deciding for breakfast between Baker E and a breakfast taco, and you said, why don't you just get both?
Yeah.
I did. I got both.
Oh, my gosh. So Rachel also said, from now on, before Dennis talks about anything, ask him what he's going to talk about. when you call, and then we'll call him back or email him and have him buy it for us and put it aside. We went through all these logistics just to get some tune-up. Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, head on over to Sweet Street, Dennis.
All righty, Cacao Bakery is here with all of their vegan goodies. Full Circle is here with their breads, sliced breads, and it looks like they've got. I thought they were donuts, but they're not. They're Danishes, and they've got some muffins and the like. Let's see. Bakery is here. Of course, she's got her table packed with all kinds of good stuff. And yes, I am going to Bakery today, and no, I'm not going to have a breakfast taco. Let's see. There. That's about it for sweets. Oh, I'm sorry. Mendocino Baking is here. And they've got all their gluten-free treats out. So stop by and say hi to those guys. Grab some good gluten-free stuff.
Oh, boy. Sounds like a treat in the making. Then onward we go to restaurant-style prepared foods.
Ah, yes. The Green Grocer is here. Joe's behind the table. You can get just about anything you want. All stuff from the farmer's market. Breakfast burritos, omelets, any style. Of course, his famous hippie hash. Ellie's Kitchen is here with their great Mexican foods, tacos, burritos, breakfast burritos, tortas, and, of course, their handmade tortillas you can buy them by the dozen. And here's one of the new vendors, Delicioso. She is making her big league debut here today at the Santa Rosa Market. She's been up with us in Cloverdale for the last couple of years, and she's doing burgers and the like with a Hawaiian twist. So you can get a pineapple teriyaki burger. You can get a pineapple rice and chicken bowl, a regular teriyaki burger, fried rice bowl. She's got lemonade and the like. It's great stuff, so stop by and say hi to Luciana. Mama Yali's is here, dumplings, dim sum, pork buns, and all that good stuff. And, of course, I forgot. Wait, that's Shobu Japanese. You can get sushi burritos, rice bowls, and, of course, Mi Fiesta, tamales, enchiladas, chili rellenos, chips, dips, chips and salsas, you name it, they've got it.
Man, what are you going to get, Dennis?
I'm going to go and get a cheddar cheese scone and a Gruyere croissant from Bakery.
Oh, he's got it all lined up. I bet when his alarm goes off, it's the first thing he thinks about in the morning.
Okay. Oh, I start thinking about it before I fall asleep at night. instead of counting sheep, I count different foodstuffs at the market.
Why? This man is committed to the farm market, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
Who's providing music today?
Some new folks, Dave and Gus. I see a guitar and I see a mandolin. So come on down and check them out.
Dave and Gus?
Dave and Gus.
They sound like two farmers.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does.
The original certified farmers market, our longest running year-round farmers market in all of Sonoma County since the late 1960s. Every Saturday morning, 8:30 to 1 o'clock. Or the midweek market, also Wednesday, 8:30 to 1 o'clock. Great vendors, great farmers, great producers, all there to make sure we appreciate the beautiful spot where we call home. Don't forget that there's lots of free parking. Look for the white billowing tents. It's only 60 seconds off Highway 101 at the River Road Marquess Springs exit. Make it part of your Saturday morning routine to reconnect with all the beautiful spring beauty that's around us in Sonoma County. Dennis Dunn, thanks so much. Enjoy your breakfast.
All right, Steve and Dave, I forgot one thing. We have another new vendor here today that I completely forgot. Grin and Tonics.
Okay.
So they've got fresh squeezed lemonade, Nature's Gatorade. They've got wellness shots, ginger, turmeric, pineapple, spirulina, all kinds of stuff. Stop by, grab a shot, grab something to drink, and on your way. Dave and Steve, we'll talk to you next week, and you guys be good.
Okay, great. So we got Gus and what's his name, and we got Dave and Steve, and we got, is it Grin and Tonics?
Grin and Tonic.
A lot going on this morning. Thanks so much, Dennis.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Dennis Dunn from the original Certified Farmers Market. We'll take a break. We will come back just as quickly. And, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to take gardening questions. We'll also probably take some emails. How about that? Emails and some questions via the great telephone, 707-636-1350. Remember to put a 1 in front of that 707 or you'll get a busy signal. 1-707-636-1350. Or you won't get a busy signal if you just send us an email, steve@ksro.com. That's another easy way to ask your question of Dave Fazio. Dave, the marvelous owner of the Sonoma Mission Gardens for over 50 years. I know, saying it that way, it's like, I know. 50 years, Sonoma Mission Gardens at Craig and Arnold Drive. Dave also taught horticulture for over 35 years at our Santa Rosa Junior College, especially the wonderful tree courses. Didn't you teach tree identification for a long time at the JC?
Well, there were some short courses of like trees and a thing on perennials and stuff, but I also did the main plant identification class, which covered a lot, trees, shrubs, perennials, all kinds of stuff.
You taught a lot of students. It's wonderful when we get calls from former students of yours and say, remember me, Dave, from 1992? But they don't talk that way. They say, hi, Dave, remember me from 1992? And you go, maybe I do.
I was walking down the street the other day and got stopped.
No way.
And this
true?
Guy
this
looks is at true? Me and goes, you're Dave Fazio, aren't you? And I said, yeah. And he says, do you remember me? And I said, you're vaguely familiar, but no. And he goes, I took your class. He says, I was the guy that wanted to taste all the plants. And it was like, I do remember you. Because everything I taught, he wanted to try it. Is this edible? Is this edible? You know?
Well,
and
that's
this has been probably 35 years ago or something. It's a long time.
If you're a student of Dave Fazio's, call and say hi. 1-707-636-1350 or shoot us an email question. Dave can help you with any plant questions. He's done thousands of landscape consultations and thousands of installations for both residential, commercial wineries all over Northern California. Winner of the prestigious San Francisco Flower and Landscape Show for his beautiful installation, Best of Show. He has done it all in the plant world over 50 years. It comes in Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 just for you, for your private consultation. Please join us this morning. We'd love to hear from you.
Pretty woman, stop a while. Pretty woman, don't go wild.
Well, you're probably not old enough to remember that song, Dave, but
I remember that song very well. From Roy back Orbison. In high school.
You did? Yeah. That was a great one. Mm-hmm. We thought we'd play a little music this morning for our listeners.
Kind of get them in the mood. Rocking out in our greenhouse. You know?
Rocking out in, ooh, I bet you were, weren't you, in the mid to late 1960s, something like that.
Yeah.
Roy Orbison. Well, not to be a downer, but Peach Leaf Curl. What do you know about Peach Leaf Curl? Well, this is kind of the time when we are on high alert, aren't we, for Peach Leaf Curl? Even though maybe we've sprayed back in November, December, we sprayed again around February. We sprayed again, probably two or three. Still, it doesn't guarantee we're not going to get Peach Leaf Curl.
No, generally the spraying will lessen the problem. But, you know, this is Sonoma County, and we're notorious about getting mildly warm days and nights and a lot of moisture, you know, the fog or the dew. And that's prime condition for peach leaf curl. The fungus grows like mad at that time of the year. And there's really nothing, if you've done the sprayings and stuff, that you can do at this point in time. You know, if it's not very bad, I would leave your tree alone. It'll drop those curdled leaves and put out a new crop of leaves for you. Just give it good TLC, a little fertilizer or something like that. But, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you should hand pick those leaves off. But if the leaf is only partially infested, the rest of it is still photosynthesizing for you. And
so it's still producing food for the tree.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's unsightly looking, so people they don't have to look at it.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're not improving the health or chances of the trees moving out of it by taking those leaves off.
No. It's six of one, half a dozen of another type of result at this point. And there really isn't much at this point that you can do to alleviate the situation. The tree will kind of take care of itself.
Okay, so if you're suffering from that and you call Dave, he's not going to be able to help you at this point.
No.
He just has to move through it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing, because it's too late at this point to do any spraying, the fungus is already there and already multiplying or doing its thing. And, you know, they talk about hand picking, but if you've got a big tree, that could be that you could be there for a week trying to get rid of them.
Okay, too much work.
Oh, yes. Far too much work.
Okay, so that's the story on peach leaf curl. And is it still a copper-type product that we use? Is that still the best dormant spray?
Yeah, during the wintertime for the three dormant sprays, and sometimes you can even do more dormant sprays than that, it's usually a copper and oil combination that is used to control the peach leaf curl and also to get rid of the overwintering bugs and insect eggs and stuff that are on your tree.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Steve. I have a huge privet tree, 30-plus feet. I am wondering how brittle it is on these windy days. Any info would be appreciated. Great program. Thanks, Maggie. What are the odds of a privet snapping or getting uprooted?
I won't say it's not going to snap or unroot. It depends on its location and how it's been doing. Privets are generally pretty flexible. And I thought I was going to tell her to cut it down originally because I don't like privets. They're weeds in my mind. if it's doing her some good and doing a good job in shading an area or something like that, then I would just keep an eye on it. It might be a good idea to get up there or if you can and thin it out a little bit if you're really worried. This time of the year, usually in the mid to late spring, the winds start dropping down. They're not as bad as they are in the early spring and late winter time.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I would get overly concerned about that.
Okay.
But
you haven't seen them topple over in winds.
Not normally. It's not known to do that, like eucalyptus or some of those other trees, Doug firs.
Okay.
You know, that type of thing.
So that should not be high on her watch list or priority list or worry list.
Well, if she's got nothing else to do, she can worry about it as she likes. I don't care.
But, you know, relax about that one. Probably not going to happen.
I'd kind of shine it on a little bit.
Okay, we'll take a quick break with the bottom of the hour. You can reach Dave Fazio right now. He has helped thousands starting in 1991 on Garden Talk Live till 2007. He stepped aside. Gwen Kilcher came aboard. Till just a couple of years ago, Gwen stepped aside, retired, moved to Oregon, and we enticed Dave to come back to answer gardening questions like really nobody else has, maybe in the history of radio gardening programs. It's not an overstatement. You can reach Dave Fazio now at 636-1350. Remember, put a 1-707 in front of that, 1-707-636-1350. Or if you're checking your email, sipping your tea or coffee this morning, yeah, send them a question. Or if you're out in your garden this morning, shoot us a photo of a plant that's not doing as well as you had hoped. Or maybe you're wanting to identify something that has just popped up in these warm weather and wondering whether it's a friend or foe. Dave knows. This is Garden Talk Live at KSRO.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, that's some good...
Oldies but goodies.
Frankie Valli. Remember that one. Some good music this morning on KSRO. Maybe instead of, you never know, instead of the onslaught of news, I think it was nice to kind of have a little respite from the news. What do you think? That's a nice idea. Calling us actually in her car, but she's from Ukiah. Sue would like to chat with you for a moment about her redwood trees. Sue, thanks for calling us on Garden Talk this morning. What can we do for you? Good morning.
Good morning. I live in inland Mendocino County in the Ukiah area, and it gets pretty hot in the summer. We're in a wooded area with lots of fir trees, and which we've been taking out several due to fire, you know, abatement and all that. But we're looking. There were some redwood trees that I've been seeing at a nursery, but they're called coastal sequoias, and I'm wondering if it's they're really beautiful, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to plant them, but I'm not sure that I'd kill them if I plant them in Ukiah where it gets 110 degrees sometimes, you know?
As long as you can water them, you know, especially when they're first planted and stuff and get them going, you'd probably be okay. They might, if it's extremely hot where you are and dry during the summer times, you might find that they will be a little bit thinner foliaged. You know, they'd be a little bit more open and not as lush looking as they are along the coast. But they are much better rooted and stuff than the firs are. But, you know, to me, Ukiah is fairly coastal, isn't it?
It's an hour inland.
So you're in quite a ways. Yeah.
Yeah, so it gets pretty hot, you know, but it's cool. The nights are cool, so for the most part. But I just didn't want to plant them and kill them, you know.
But that's the best kind of redwood to plant in that area?
It's the one that's the closest to being most native in that area because they are native along the coast of California.
Yeah.
And they do grow almost throughout the world in this day and age. I know they had planted coastal redwoods in the arboretum at UC Davis, and they didn't perform very well. They grew and they lived, and every summer they'd get brown tips and stuff of that nature. And they ended up putting an irrigation system, but a misting system into the trees that went off every few minutes and stuff. And it was amazing how fast those trees responded to that, the installation of the misting system.
That's remarkable.
That they did during the summertime. But as long as they get enough moisture, and again, not knowing exactly how hot and dry you are, I would say you'd probably do okay with them.
Quick question. Is there anything that we could put into the hole that we plant them in that could be supportive of them?
I would just add a little bit of compost or soil builder or something of that nature when you're planting them. But the big thing is make sure that, you know, they get good watering. Maybe even if it's really hot and dry during the summer, you might even put a sprinkler out there underneath them and run it for several hours.
Can you get water?
Once
you can
or twice
get water.
A month?
You can get water out there. You're close enough to a hose outlet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Well, thank you. That's really helpful. I think I'll go get them then because I've been hesitating, but I think I'll plant them.
Would this be an okay time to put them in, Dave?
As long as she can get water to them during the summer, she'd be fine.
Okay.
Otherwise, you know, planting them in the fall before the rains happen, that way the winter rain will take care of it for the first several months for you.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your show.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for
nice
the call.
Having you, and have a safe trip back to Ukiah, or they're coming or going. We're not quite sure. That's Sue from Ukiah. Why don't we take a quick, very quick little break, a little musical respite, and we'll come back and we will chat with Judy, who would like a word with us, calling from Windsor, California this morning. It's Garden Talk Live with me, Steve Garner, along with Dave Fazio.
If you ever need a helping hand, I'll be there on the double just as fast as I can. Cause baby, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from getting to you, babe.
I think you remember that one, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those were all high school.
Yeah. Amy and Marvin, Ain't No Mountain
Back
High
in
Enough.
The 60s,
it's Garden
yes.
Talk Live at KSRO, 38 years and counting. Dave Fazio answering all your gardening questions with 50-plus years of experience owning the Sonoma Mission Gardens. Hundreds and hundreds of consultations at homeowners throughout Northern California, landscape design and installation. And teaching 35 years in the horticulture department at the Santa Rosa Junior College, well-equipped to answer your gardening questions. Judy from Windsor would like a word with you. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hello, hello. I'm looking to top-dress my flower beds with a decorative bark. And I see about four choices here, and one is to just lay decorative bark on top of what's already there, and two is to take away that bark and put the decorative, and three is to dig in that bark and do the decorative, and four is don't do any of that. What's your opinion on the decorative bark top dressing?
You're just resurfacing the beds is what you're doing?
Yes, correct.
So you've got, do you have a weed barrier down or anything already, or you just have a bark that's been there?
Just bark that's been there.
I would just put new fresh bark down, and the other thing you might do is consider putting what they call a pre-emergent weed killer. And what it is a product that kills germinating seeds, so you wouldn't be able to plant, like, flower seeds in amongst that area, but it will kill the seeds as they germinate and cut your weed problem down if you've got much of a weed problem. Otherwise, just put the bark down.
Okay. The only weed I have is, I don't know what it's called. It's like a grass, but it has a long, thin trailer, and it replants itself everywhere.
It's Bermuda grass. You're really lucky. That's one of the worst weeds to get rid of. And, you know, there's a couple of products on the market, and most of them are closely related to glyphosate, which is Roundup. And you have to do several sprayings to get rid of that, because you can pull that from now till eternity and you'll still be pulling. It just does not give up.
Can I apply that, like, with a cloth or something so I'm not spraying around?
Yeah, you can. They've actually have what they call daubers or something, where it comes in a container with a little kind of rag on the end of it, and that way you can just touch the plant that you want to get rid of.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because I assume the main problem with Roundup is that it oversprays and kills everything, and then you get to the bees and the and such.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking if I just put some on a rag and put on my gloves and wiped it on instead of spraying it, that might be better environmentally.
Yeah, that would be one way of doing it, with a rag or a piece of sponge or something of that nature. And that way you've got more control and don't have as much of it going everywhere around it where you're spraying.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Well, I've got my job laid out for the day.
Have you started planting any vegetables yet, Judy?
No, I have not. I mainly just do tomatoes, and I'm waiting for that Barnes Road sale next weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To go down and support them.
Great.
And I was thinking it was this weekend, and I was like, oh, boy, I'm ready to go. And, I'll wait till next weekend.
Well, good. That's wonderful and nice to hear from you. Thanks for giving us a call this morning.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Judy from up in Windsor this morning. And I get the thing about Roundup. People really worry about using it, certainly indiscriminately, and just being very cautious.
Yeah.
It.
And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of claims for it and all kinds of claims against it.
Yep.
Who really knows?
Yeah. Well, we want to reduce our pesticide use whenever we can.
Yeah.
So that was very prudent of her. So I got a message here from Sonoma Mission Gardens. It says, in now, gardeners' favorites, state fair zinnias. Plant them now for all summer and fall color. But remember to protect from frost.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, just like the tomatoes. It's on the cusp of that. You could plant them and they may not have any more frosts, but it could frost tomorrow morning. You never know. And state fair zinnias, I love.
Is that a particular trade name?
It's a taller growing zinnia with a big flower. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I first got started in the nursery, we used to have put a small bed out front. And we sold flowers off of this small bed that was maybe 6x8 or 6x10. And we would sell the cut flowers all summer long at, back then it was like $1 a dozen. And all the ladies in the neighborhood would come buy fresh zinnias from us.
Oh, wow.
And they would last in a vase for 2 to 3 weeks. They're great. They're wonderful cut flowers. And they're really pretty because they come in a wide range of flower colors. And the blossom is generally about 4 inches in diameter and stuff.
That's great. That's really a sign of summer, don't you think, the zinnias?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So get them now while you can in the best selection of colors. Why don't we do another question before we take a break? Hi, Dave. I have a new dahlia bulb, but I want to plant it in a pot. How deep and how wide does that pot need to be? Thanks so much. Love your show. That's Cheryl.
It depends on the variety of dahlia. If it's one of the big old-fashioned dinner plate dahlias, I would put it in as big a pot as she can find. At least, you know, something probably close to the size of a half wine barrel. If it's one of the smaller growing dahlias that only gets 3 or 4 feet, she could probably get by with something that's a little bit bigger than a 5-gallon can.
And does she need to add fertilizer or amendments or anything?
You know, plant it in some moderately decent potting soil or something and throw a little fertilizer at it. Once in a while, she'll have real good luck with it. And dahlia is another one that makes a great summer flower.
Yeah, but I think for your bang, dahlias are expensive, I think, overall.
Well, but dahlias grow year in and year out.
Oh, you're right. They're not an annual.
Yeah.
They keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got to, I guess, amortize that over the life of the plant.
Uh-huh.
It's not too bad. And is this a good time to get those in April here?
Yeah. Next couple of months is a good time to be planting dahlias. And actually, they've developed a lot of dahlias that they call bedding dahlias.
Mm-hmm.
They grow maybe 10, 12, 14 inches tall. And they make a real good, you know, like little border planting or in a dahlia bed or something, or you can use them in pots too. The flowers are not near as big as the bigger growing dahlias, but they
are they bigger than zinnias?
The bedding dahlias?
Mm-hmm.
No,
they're not.
They're smaller. They're going to be shorter, and the flowers are probably 1.5 inches, maybe 2 inches in diameter.
Okay, not like a zinnia.
No,
okay.
And because it's a bedding dahlia, the stems and stuff aren't as long to make cut flowers like you do out of the taller growing dahlias that are bigger blossomed.
Mm-hmm.
And though the bigger ones make great cut flowers for in the house or something.
Okay, there's the answer to that. Why don't we grab one more question before we take a break? Good morning, Steve and Dave. I would like to know how to successfully grow sugar snap peas. I bought several 6-packs of sugar snap peas for my mother and myself and planted them in January. After a week or so, all the leaves were gone on my plants with just the stems left. The snap peas my mother planted were also eaten with about 2 inches of stem left. A couple days later, the stems were also gone. Will more leaves grow on the stems of these plants, or should I just pull out the plants? Any suggestions you have for a successful planting of sugar snap peas would be appreciated. Kathy down in Petaluma.
I would strongly recommend probably pulling them out at this point if they don't have any leaves left on them, because it's getting late for the sugar snaps. And you want to get those in the fall, late fall, early winter time and stuff. And when you plant sugar snap peas, protect them, cover them.
Oh.
The birds love them.
Oh.
And the other thing is, it could be slugs or it could be earwigs. Oh. And so I would put out some...
Sluggo Plus or something like that?
Thank you. Yes, Sluggo Plus would be really good for baiting the area with, because it's hard to say which exactly ate her sugar snaps on her. But birds will come in and annihilate them overnight. Yeah.
So just a netting, a light row netting or something?
Yeah, some grow cloth or grow netting would be real good to get them started.
Okay. And we want to make sure to emphasize, if you want to get those earwigs, you have to purchase Sluggo Plus. Sluggo Regular will not, is not effective
against
earwigs.
It doesn't
earwigs.
Do the earwigs, no.
Okay. A little plug for Sluggo. 636-1350-1707. We have open lines now since we took care of Judy and Sue. You can reach Dave Fazio now with a one-on-one consultation before you go and invest money on a plant that may not be the right time to plant, or you make that... pruning cut that maybe you shouldn't be doing, or is it too late to prune something you should have gotten to a couple months ago? Talk to Dave Fazio. He's been there. He's done it for the past 50 years and has helped more listeners than probably anybody in Northern California. Dave Fazio from Sonoma Mission Gardens, 636-1350. That's 1707. Or shoot us an email. We would love to hear from you this morning. It's simple. Steve@ksro.com. What's coming up on the Good Food Hour at 11:05? Well, the San Francisco Chronicle revealed their yearly Best 100 Restaurants in the San Francisco Bay Area Awards this past week. I think it dropped on Monday or Tuesday. That's when we received the email here at the station. And six Sonoma County restaurants made the grade. Two in Healdsburg, one in Geyserville, one in Petaluma, one in Sonoma, and those five are pretty expensive to super expensive restaurants, dining destinations. But the sixth one, located in Sebastopol, is one that the whole family can enjoy without breaking the bank. Chef owners Nikolai Ludlow and Leith Leiser spent an hour with John Ash and me in the KSRO kitchen in January, providing a feast of salads, pizzas, and desserts from their fabulous restaurant, Psychic Pie. They're on the top 100 in the San Francisco Chronicle's best restaurants in the Bay Area. Today, Leith joins us for a catch-up and congratulations. Then, Lacey Osterman. She's a hometown gal from Santa Rosa, took culinary classes in high school, worked at her parents' diner-style restaurants, married, moved to London, England, and started a family, took up baking, amassed a following of about 1 million online followers, and just released her first cookbook 2 weeks ago. Whew. Lacey is just completing a U.S. book tour, and her last stop is today in the KSRO kitchen. She will be here live this morning, and one lucky Good Food Hour listener will win an autographed copy of Three Doughs, 60 Recipes, Easy to Master Doughs, and Delicious Ways to Enjoy Them. That's all on the Good Food Hour this morning from 11:05 until noon with Chef John Ash. We'd love to have you join us this morning. Back after this. You